Our agenda is here. On the agenda today, we're going to review how the verifiable claims, the presentation to the Web Payments Interest Group went, and then we're going to talk about some of the items that were raised in that meeting, meaning things that certain organizations were concerned about. And we're going to kind of talk about next steps after that. So this is kind of a wrap-up meeting of how the presentation went, and we're going to kind of talk about where we're going from here. Any other updates or changes to the agenda? Anything else we should discuss? All right, if not, let's go ahead and get started. First up on the agenda is a review of the verifiable claims. I'm going to say presentation. Verifiable claims presentation. See 408 area code. Is that you, Matt Stone?
Dave Crocker just joined. That might be. But I'm not sure what area code it shows. Coming in through Skype.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, it's probably 408 then. Great, thanks. We basically took all of the material that we have been working on over the past couple of months and presented it to the Web Payments Interest Group 2 weeks ago. The purpose of that was to see whether or not the Web Payments Interest Group would support the verifiable claims work going forward. The good news is
This is Christopher Apple. I don't have our IRC.
Okay. Hey. So the Web Payments IG largely voted in favor to pass it. So this is great news. The IG is a fairly large set of companies and organizations. It's going to take another week for, I think, vote to be binding. While the people that were at the face-to-face meeting voted to accept it and it was passed, it's going to take another kind of week or two for the vote to be binding. There was a large amount of support for the work, so that's the good news. The bad news, or the somewhat troubling news, is that there are still two very, very large organizations that are in opposition to the work, as well as another person that's fairly key to the process that's opposed to the work as it stands right now. So what we're going to talk about today is are going to be those oppositions to the work and see if we want to change any part of the presentation or proposal. We want to get input from folks to see if they, what they think about the feedback so far. Okay, so let me kind of outline how the presentation went, and then we can kind of move on to the quote-unquote weak points that these large organizations mentioned. 609 area code, who is that?
Richard.
Hey, Richard. Richard Warren. Okay, so... I want to point out to the W3C members that are on this call, please do not point out who the organizations are that were in opposition to the work yet. The meeting minutes are not public yet, so we are not supposed to say who those people are until those become public. We expect those to become public next Monday, so everyone will know soon enough who those organizations are. I'm going to refer to them not using their names during the call. Okay. So the presentation went fairly well. It was the same presentation that we circulated to the group. We went over the agenda, the primer. We went over the architecture document. And there was really no pushback on the documents themselves, right? Most of the pushback was kind of at a higher level. We got all the way through the presentation and took questions from the interest group. Again, there was nothing really controversial from the IG itself. We then asked for feedback directly from organizations that had criticized the work previously, and these organizations had a number of fairly they had pushback, right? So let's go ahead and jump into kind of what the identified pushback was. So I label these as weak points, but they were basically identified as weak points by the organizations that were pushing back on the work. Okay. So the first set of pushback, and this was across all three entities pushing back on the work. They said that the work was too broad, meaning that we have, from their viewpoint, we have a number of education companies at the table, and we don't have a lot of any of the other organizations, like healthcare companies, at the table. We don't have enough financial organizations at the table to claim that we're creating a verifiable claims ecosystem that would meet those use cases. So our use cases include healthcare and financial services, but the organization said that they don't see enough people signing up to the work from financial services and healthcare. Okay, so that was the first set of criticism. It's too broad. It was suggested that we narrowly hone it down to the education space. One of the organizations said that they don't believe that we are in the right position to say that we are creating a verifiable claims ecosystem that would work for all of these market verticals. Right. So the first suggestion was focus on education only. Clearly, folks could we should design it in a general way so that these other market verticals could use them. But until they see, 10 or 15 organizations from those other market verticals, they're not convinced that we have the right people in the room to work on those use cases, specifically financial industry and healthcare and government. Okay, so that was the criticism. There was pushback clearly from the web payments interest group, from a number of people inside the web payments interest group, because there are a number of financial services companies in there. They thought that it was very important that we work on the financial services use cases and the payments use cases. So that criticism had pushback internally in the group, and that's kind of, I think we'll just leave it there. So the first criticism was it's too broad, focus on education. The second criticism was that we have known for a long time in this group that there is a set of technology called JavaScript Object Signing and Encryption. Jose, it's called Jose for short. There's a subset of that work called JWT, JSON Web Tokens. And the JSON Web Tokens technology allows you to make claims about things, right? We had done an analysis of the JWT technology multiple years ago, I think at least 2+ years ago. It's probably getting on 3 to 4 years ago, and found that, it wasn't a good fit for linked data, which we tend to be using quite heavily in this group. But these organizations pushed back and said, we would much rather that you take JWT and modify it and upgrade it rather than, base this stuff off of linked data, right? So if you're looking for a claims format, the world already has a ton of claims formats, including SAML, including JWT and OpenID Connect, and we believe that you should be using those technologies and upgrading them rather than trying to create a new claims format. Now, of course, the pushback against that those set of arguments is that we're trying to create a general data model for expressing verifiable claims. We are not making technology decisions on what the right way to do that should be, right? That's the job of the working group. We would like this mechanism to be as flexible as possible. So, the Jose JWT stuff is definitely making a technology decision on what the proper signature mechanism should be. I think what what this group has tried to do is try to say that we should be flexible when it comes to that. So if people want to use linked data signatures, they can use those. If they want to use JWTs, they can use those. We're not saying, you know, one is clearly superior to the others. Now this pushback, this set of pushback on Jose and JWT came from the organizations that put Jose and JWT through the standardization process. So one could argue that there's a very strong bias there, but I think at a very high level, the point is taken. You know, we want to demonstrate how this works in Jose and JWT. In, I believe, there are a number of organizations that are using linked data signatures that would like to continue to use that technology as well. So we're trying to be agnostic to the signature mechanism and the algorithms, but these companies that push their, you know, their signature set of signature specifications through the standardization process would rather that we just use that and extend that. Okay, so that was the second kind of, you know, we would much rather you do it this way than the way that you proposed it. There was one other interesting philosophical point that was raised that I think we should cover as well, and that is that one of the organizations said that they felt like the work had not been incubated enough, meaning they wanted to see more incubation before we tried to take this to a working group. They wanted to see, you know, a demo implementation. They wanted to see companies doing pilots of the technology. But when we pushed back and said, we've already done that, there's already a demo of the technology, demos of the technology, there are companies that are running pilots with this technology, they just kind of went back and re-repeated the, yes, but that's not enough, we'd like to see more. When we asked them how much more, you know, they would like to see, they were nondescript on, you know, exactly how much deployment, exactly how many pilots would be required for them to be okay with taking this work to a working group. So that's kind of where we are on the discussions. Let me stop there and see if folks have input on this. Specifically, I'd love to hear from David Ezell, Richard Varn, and Matt Stone, who were on the call, and get their view on you know, the pushback and suggestions on what we should do about it. David, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank this task force for doing such a great job. And in offline discussions with W3M, I think it was, you know, it was widely acknowledged that there is a tremendous amount of work here, that it's good work, and that it should be considered. What I put myself on the queue to say, other than congratulations to the group, and especially Manu, is I wouldn't worry too much about some of the pushback. I think especially that last situation that you were talking about, Manu, is likely to evaporate. If and when some specific ideas for continued incubation come forward, then I think it should be taken seriously. But just generally, we need more is probably not going to get us very far.
Great, thanks, David. Matt Stone, go ahead.
Yeah, I would kind of add to that last point about incubation. I got the sense from those that were pushing back on that topic that, you know, they were really looking for us to kind of see a standard emerge from the marketplace. And it's not, they weren't asking for a pilot. They were asking for, you know, sort of a fully baked implementation and business ecosystem that could be kind of rubber stamped as a standard, which is what we've been waiting for 15 years. So I don't think that's going to happen. We have to just kind of keep moving forward.
Great. Thanks, Matt. Shane.
And maybe you already touched on this, Manu, but I don't think it makes any sense for us to approach this against a single vertical. It's just silly. But moreover, we got pushback earlier that we were too focused on a single vertical. Much like we got pushback earlier that we were too generic and didn't have, suggested proposals and specifications. Much like we got pushback that we were not ready to, that there wasn't enough participation. I mean, I think every time we come back with more data, the goalposts keep moving. Or there's different people chiming in. But at some point, the absurdity of this has got to become apparent to everybody. It can't just be me. It can't be.
Great. Thanks, Shane. Dan Burnett, you had something to say. You put in IRC. Would you mind kind of talking about that a bit? And Dan, I don't know if you're in a position where you can unmute yourself.
Yes, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah. Sorry, I was in the car, so I've got, 6 buttons to unmute myself. Okay. One of the concerns I had as I was listening to this the summary, and for those who suggest, there are some technologies out there that you can just already use you can use them, and you should extend those rather than creating something new. For example, the Jose or JWT approach, is that the principles that we have that are starting this work are not necessarily the same as those of the organizations working on other technologies. And I mean, I include Jose and JWT, but any others as well. And I think that any suggestions that we might make for extensions, those suggestions would end up having to be done within those organizations that work to create those documents or those groups that work to create those technologies. And we are likely to meet with opposition merely because our goals are different. I've seen this many times. I've worked in IETF and WPC both. And as I'm sure, Dave, I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure you've seen this as well, too. There's a not invented here problem that can really make it difficult sometimes to make progress or provide extensions that would actually allow someone new to use a technology in a new and slightly different way.
This is Chris Growling. Can I get in the queue?
Sure, yep, I'll add you. Okay, added. Let's see, who's next? Richard, you're up.
I really strongly echo what Matt said as far as the comment that we should just wait for a commercial solution. That's fraught with challenges, and we don't have one. We don't have one everybody would agree on anyway. I mean, it's just an invitation to watch large players fight out, usual commercial interests with each other. That's not the purpose of a standards group. So focus, I think, is an isolation problem. If we get isolated in just education and we don't understand this as a compound set of variables that enable transactions of all types, and then we don't want to handle them differently, if people don't understand that basic part of it, then I guess they don't really understand what verifiable claims are supposed to be in the first place. Because I don't think others will wait while we go out and solve the education area. They're going to have to move forward on their own ways of being able to deal with verifiable claims. And then we end up with, a cacophony of solutions, not a standard. So that doesn't work. I don't know if you mentioned this. I might have missed it, about the self-sovereign. The complaints about, we really shouldn't be working on something that enables self-sovereignty. At least that's kind of I could barely hear the call when we were on it. So I got that out of your comments, Manu. And that I strongly, appreciate why someone might object to that if they're, in the interest of trying to control others. But, the underpinnings of that is critical to this. You can't get past the privacy discussion. You can't get past the control and management of these type of claims without having some sort of self-sovereignty built into it. So if that is one of the complaints, those two things would make me want to take our marbles and go play somewhere else if that was really what they insisted on for us to develop a verifiable claims standard, which I've mentioned to you, Manu, that, you know, and other people at the meeting, I think, mentioned the same thing, that if they don't do it here, that it'll have to be done in other standards bodies and composited together later. Those are my comments.
Great. Thank you, Richard. Dave Crocker. You might be muted.
Let's see. You can hear me?
There we go. Yep. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. So several different comments. The easy one is that references to something like JWT or any of the others that were mentioned seems to me a fundamental technical error, not because any of those is bad or that any of those is inapplicable, but that they're at the wrong layer. Those are foundational technologies for this effort. They might or might, any one of them might or might not be appropriate. My understanding of the presentation that was made and the discussions that led to it was that choices for specific formats, for particular encodings, for anything that might be called protocol details, were not being made at this point and were to be made later, that this was about a design or an approach or a way of approaching this that was specific to the problem domain, and this problem domain is much higher level than using JSON or not using JSON or how to encrypt pieces of it. And so, unless I'm missing something, I think that criticisms that are proposing a JSON detail or anything like that is fundamentally at the wrong level at the wrong time and needs to be classed as that. And that's the easy part. The issue of political motivations and people who may have self-interest at heart, on the average, I've never seen attending to that be very helpful, except that whatever their motivations are, if somebody's raising a concern that is legitimate on its face, then it needs attending to on its face independent of the motivation. To the extent that there is a basis for saying that there is not a broad enough industry involvement in the activity, either that statement has legitimacy or it doesn't. If it doesn't, there's a clear statement of how the involvement is already adequate. And if there is any legitimate concern there, then the way to respond to that is to get more a broader base of involvement and proceed from there. On the average, these efforts succeed or fail based on actual industry interest, rather than the authority of a standards group or even the vigor of a particular participant. I think I'll stop there.
Great. Thank you, Dave. Let's see. I think I put myself on the queue next. Right. So I really appreciate the comments from everyone so far. I think it demonstrates that all this consensus building that we've done over the past 2+ years are paying off, at least within the people in this group. So we're all on the same page. There was a suggestion that we remove the problem statement and self-sovereign from the charter. There was, basically proposals that we remove some of the core things that we have identified as really important for creating kind of a self-sovereign ecosystem and just focus on claims, right? And I think my expectation is that this group would push back pretty hard on that, because that basically makes it so that we're solving a different problem than the one that we actually want to solve, which is, true portable claims, true self-sovereignty for these claims, and things of that nature. So all of the things that were requested, we do not have to say yes to, right? We, as Dave mentioned, if they seem valid on their face, we should address them on their face. And during the meeting, we did that several times, only to see kind of a talking point reiterated, meaning, you know, we feel that we addressed the concern and the response was a return back to the talking point. So I'll just, you know, kind of add that as a data point. We don't have to change what we want to do in order to get this forward. I think we have enough consensus now, and it's a very small set of people that are pushing back, but they are powerful players. That's why we have to pay attention to them and respond, you know, on the comments space, like, you know, give a good response. I think we have good responses to all of the issues that were raised. I will also note that during the blockchain identity meeting the day before, one of these organizations sent in someone that was mildly disruptive to the verifiable claims table, meaning they came in, they said, this is not something that our organization has seen as something our customers want. You're solving a non-problem, you know, things like that. While we would like to think the best of people, I don't think that at least one of these organizations is necessarily playing fair. I'll go ahead and leave it at that without naming the organization, but I think some of these criticisms are an attempt to derail the work, not necessarily an honest criticism of the space. But we'll see. We've set ourselves up so that we can have some discussions or the discussions with some of these people to see if there's any place that we can find consensus. And if the group doesn't want to modify what we're doing to the point that they want the modifications, we don't have to say yes. We can push back and give a good reason and kind of leave it at that. Okay. Moving on. David Ezell, you're on the queue. I think we'll wrap this up in the next 10 minutes and go on to next steps. So go ahead, David.
Okay, I wanted to start by responding to something Shane said a second ago, which is I would not recommend that, and I don't think you are, but I would not recommend that you do anything in advance of actually engaging with W3M on the next steps. That the suggestion of limiting to one vertical was in my mind like a brainstorming content thrown at the wall to see if it would stick. It was not. That doesn't mean it's a bad idea, but I don't think anybody was, holding onto that idea for dear life. I think it was just suggested at the time. It may come back, but I wouldn't do anything on that basis. And the same is true for the rest of what you've done. I would not go in and try to change a thing until they start giving specific feedback on what they'd like to change. Just to make it clear to everybody on the call, the Web Payments Interest Group did pass, the actual members present passed, I believe, unanimously. Now, organizations were represented, but not by Web Payments members, by other people. But we have seen no formal, pushback from them, and it's been out there for a week. The two-week period expires Friday. So people should feel good that the work as it was presented was approved. And I think that's, I think you have to sort of walk forward cautiously, but hide the big stick. And by the way, I put a quote in about standards, and I'll note that any Chinese scribe who introduced that many typos would probably have been beheaded. Thanks.
Thanks, David. Matt Stone.
One quick thing. So what Ezell just said, the work wasn't only approved, it was recognized as being very high quality. The group said we were as well prepared for this discussion as yeah, I think they said may have said something as hubris as any that has ever come before them. So, you know, I think that gives us standing with the organization to kind of keep going on as we if we spend too much time responding to the complaints, it sort of lends validity to those complaints. So I like the idea of just saying, you know, until you have more substantial request, it is what it is.
Great. Thank you, Matt. Christopher.
Thank you. So first, a comment and then a question. The comment is that we've already, you know, I think the whole thing of, you know, saying, oh, we have to be JWT when in fact, you know, we already allow it to work with JWT and all those types of things, just feel like red herrings. And, you know, I think we've addressed them. I don't think we need to address them further. Some of these big organizations are not of one mind. In particular, one, I know of somebody else in the same organization that's trying to move blockchain stuff forward. who needs this? So, you know, it kind of old guard in those organizations that are doing this, whereas the younger and, you know, people are doing more edgy new things are saying we really need these types of solutions. So if we have to approach that, that's one of the ways that we should do so. Insofar as the request to remove self-sovereign identity from the from the principles or whatever at the opening page, I think I'm generally against it, but if it said something like peer-to-peer or, you know, something of that nature, I could be satisfied, peer claims or something of that nature, I could be satisfied. So that was for my comments on my I do actually have one more comment, which is that the, you know, there's a lot of new cryptographic things that we want to explore in the areas of things like selective disclosure and you know, other future requirements. Not that this group is necessarily going to do these requirements, and I don't know how to do it with JWT, and I can see a path forward for doing it with verified claims. So I think that's also, you know, an element of my focus on verified claims, is that it allows us to move into new forms of privacy and confidentiality in the longer term. So as far as my question, you know, what are sort of the requirements for consent in W3C? What's the process? What's going to happen? You know, what happens in Lisbon if the same parties continue to say no, despite our addressing their things? What level of consensus is required? So that's my question.
Right, and that is a great dovetail into next steps. Let me make one quick closing comment. When there was pushback, when the number of people in the Web Payments Interest Group saw that there was pushback, there was a veiled threat that some of the members in this group would have no problem taking the work to ISO or X9 or OASIS or IMS Global, right? So these are people that are very involved in each of those standardization bodies. And they basically said, if you know, W3C membership can't see their way to approving the verifiable claims work here and working on it at W3C, we can always just move it to another standardization body, right? So, and I think W3C management heard that loud and clear, right? Meaning that this opportunity is on the table and it's not going to stay there for a long time. And there are already a number of people that really want to see this happen. So if W3C is going to block it in any way, shape, or form, they will move it elsewhere. Okay, so let's kind of tie up this part of it and talk about next steps. Okay, so the Web Payments Interest Group, as someone mentioned, voted unanimously to take this forward. The folks pushing against it were not members of the Web Payments Interest Group, but they were member companies, I guess, that were involved in it. Right now, W3C management is reviewing the charter and is going to come back with a set of changes that they feel are appropriate when it comes to addressing some of the concerns. Some of those modifications are going to be the things that we talked about today. So when W3C management comes back to us with those changes, we then get to review it and say which changes we're okay with. To answer Christopher's question more directly, how much do we need for consensus? The easiest votes at W3C when it comes to charters are ones where there are no formal objections and there are enough organizations to carry the work forward. So in general, that means 20 to 25 organizations that approve the charter. I think we're clearly past that, meaning that we should be able to get that if the survey, all of our survey data is correct. So that should not be an issue. These organizations that have pushed against the work, I would expect one of them to file a formal objection no matter what we do. Meaning like, I don't think that this organization, I don't think that that this group is willing to make all of the changes that they want to effectively, you know, try to shoehorn what we're doing inside JWT. So, I would expect at least one formal objection, maybe two, to come from these organizations. And then the question is, did we respond to them at face value? If they said, you should do X, and we come back with, we have thought about X, we're not going to do it for reasons Y, and that is the consensus position of the Verifiable Claims Task Force plus the Credentials Community Group, then that's usually good enough for the director to say they seem to have thought about the issue that you raised and they don't seem to think that it's an issue. At that point, we can move forward. So I think it's going to be very difficult if this stuff comes to a W3C member vote for the formal objections to override what we're doing because we have done our homework, right? So as far as next steps, just to reiterate them, we have handed the charter over to W3C management. W3C management is going to modify the charter and send it back to us and tell us these are the changes that W3C management would like to see to bring the charter to a vote. We can always say, you know, we can always say, no, we don't agree with those changes, or we agree with this change but not this change. So they'll be a bit of back and forth. And then we push it back to W3C management to take it to a vote. So the risks here are that for reasons that may become obvious next Monday, W3C management may take an extended period of time getting back to us with this list of changes. One, because they're horribly busy and overworked, and two, because, you know, for reasons that will become obvious next Monday. So the question is, you know, what do we do in that position? You know, if this thing starts dragging out, we don't want that to happen. I think ideally we had mentioned that we would like to do some kind of face-to-face meeting at W3C TPAC. David Ezell and I still need to kind of chat about that a bit to see what the possibilities are. So we can't really talk about that. But I think that the goal
what
is to
that
have
conference?
A face-to-face. It's the week before the Rebooting Web of Trust one. It's late September, I think September 18th through the 25th or something like that. So
is this something different than TPAC?
No, it's TPAC. It's at TPAC. The question is, how would we get the meeting space at TPAC? Because it's I talked to W3C management, and they said they don't believe that any kind of charter approval will happen in time for us to get space. And there are other options available, but management basically said, you know, we're not, we don't see it happening officially at TPAC, but that doesn't mean you can't, you know, ask another group for space or do something unofficial. So we need to figure out exactly what we're doing there and give everybody enough heads up so that we can get enough people there. Because a thing that would be bad would be for us to have our first face-to-face meeting at W3C TPAC and we only get a very small number of people showing up, and that is used as a reason to, you know, kill the work or demonstrate that there's no interest. So we need to figure that out. We need to figure out what those next steps are. And I don't want to discuss it before the fact. I think David, myself, Eric, and some W3C staff need to sit down and go through the options before we present it to this group. Okay, so again, reiterating, it's in W3C's hands right now. They're getting changes to us. I think one of the things that this group needs to do is assume as if we're going to be successful and plan for our first face-to-face meeting at some point in September. And yeah, I think those are the major work items. So as far as next steps are concerned, you know, we have to address this Jose JWC thing by probably doing some kind of analysis. One, to outline that it's premature to talk about this. This is what the working group should be talking about. But we've also done an analysis, and this just kind of casts doubt over JWT being the end-all, be-all solution. We can't just use JWT. It has to be that plus a couple of other things, like a data model for verifiable claims. And then, Christopher, one other thing that we should probably discuss, I don't know if it's a discussion for this week or not, but the Rebooting Web of Trust workshop is happening on the West Coast, and that is a potential alternative rallying point for the verifiable claims work. And I just want to kind of get your thoughts on it along with anyone else that participates in the Rebooting Web of Trust workshops. So,
I mean, it's definitely positive there, so.
Yep. Could you elaborate a bit more, Christopher?
Sure. We now have a three-day event reserved, so not just 2 days. And I think, you know, in general, the verifiable claims technology is important to enough parties there that we can give it significant time. I've also been specifically asked by the team at the Internet Identity Workshop to make time and space available to the Rebooting Web Trust community projects at IIW specifically. They're very interested in aligning with us on this. So we have two meetings that we can do things.
Okay, great. So yeah, IIW is another, thing. If this work goes to a vote, W3C approval, there will probably be a flurry of a number of the community members on the call today going out to conferences and kind of waving the flag and saying, hey, you know, this work is actually happening. Please join us to make sure that your concerns are taken into account. Effectively making sure that we have a presence at Rebooting Web of Trust, IIW, and a variety of other, identity-related conferences. Okay. With respect to next steps, does anyone have any other concerns or things that you think we should be thinking about over the next couple of weeks?
Sorry, this is Shane. I was muted. I do. I think we should stop worrying about the charter stuff, as David said. Thank you, David, for those calming words. You're right. Let's let things happen and not borrow trouble. But independent of that, I think we've started some really good work. Thank you, Dan Burnett, on the core data model stuff. And I'd like to continue that. I'd like to keep working on that kind of stuff. which isn't really part of the Verifiable Claims Task Force so much as the Credentials Community Group. But I think we've got a little momentum there, and I'd hate to lose it by stopping peddling, basically. So is there any more progress we can make there? Is there a way we could do like a cycle of review and comment on these things? I think we did a lot of editing work coming up to the meeting in Boston, and I don't feel like we've had a good review cycle and feedback even within this group. So that's what I was going to propose.
I think that's a very good idea. So effectively another review cycle on the documents. Specifically, you know, there is one thing we have to make sure is tied up really well, and that's the Jose JWT stuff. We have to be able to point to a document and say, look, we're thinking about it. This is how you do it. Or even providing two alternatives like, you know, Jose and linked data signatures, just to say, you know, we're agnostic to the signature format. Like, that's a good thing. Okay. All right. So I'm seeing plus ones in the channel. Oh, the other thing that we really should talk about as a community is that, you know, let me note that we have all volunteers working on these documents to date. That is not a sustainable thing. We're getting ready to move into a more official working group. We cannot continue to, especially because the amount of work that we're going to have to do over the next 2 years is going to increase, right? And so having volunteers do all of the work is not sustainable. It is a very bad idea, especially because we're going into a fairly politically charged area. We've tried to reduce that as much as possible. So that means finding funding for these volunteers that are doing the work. So specifically, you know, Shane and Dan have been doing a great job, you know, getting this stuff going. SpecOps has been doing a lot of work behind the scenes and eating a lot of the cost of pushing this stuff forward. I think we're going to have to go around and ask organizations that want to see this stuff happen that have not been able to, you know, put people on this to fund it in some capacity. Because again, I mean, we're going into an area where there are very well-funded central identity organizations that we have already seen try to throw a couple of grenades into the work that we're doing. And it's really hard to push back against that stuff when you're just a volunteer, right? And it is not your job in any way, shape, or form to make sure that this work continues forward. Okay, so all that to say that, you know, I think SpecOps is going to be raising money to make sure that this stuff is well-resourced, meaning travel expenses for people going to things like TPAC, making sure that we have editors that are being paid to actually push these documents forward. They don't have to worry about, you know, doing consulting work elsewhere to, you know, pay for their hobby effectively. So I think there's another discussion that I'm probably going to start offline, not on these calls, but offline with organizations to make sure that we're going into this stuff well-funded. So I'll leave it at that. Any other concerns or things that we should be focusing on over the next couple of weeks? Okay, well, then we can leave it there. Next Monday, I believe, the minutes will be made public, and then all of us can kind of put a name to these organizations and talk a bit more specifically about strategy. I think one of the next steps is doing a very thorough analysis on Jose and JWT and putting together an agenda, assuming that this stuff is going to pass. So the agenda that we're going to put together is very much going to be an introduction to the new participants. Whenever, you know, if this stuff is voted in a positive way at W3C TPAC, there will be a number of new W3C organizations that will join the work. And they're not going to have any idea, you know, about the decisions that we've made as a community and where consensus is. So a lot of that is going to be just introducing them to the work, the scope, you know, the architecture, those kinds of things. good news is that we have those documents. That's what we've been doing for the past 2 months. We just need to talk about how that stuff's going to be presented at the face-to-face. Any other questions, concerns? All right, that's it for the call this week then. We'll have a call next week to talk about more specifics, more specific strategy, you know, what the, how the specs should change and things of that nature. All right, thanks everyone for the call this week, and we'll chat again next Tuesday. Thanks, bye.